Let's pray together. Thank you for your presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you for Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And may there be a special Pentecost today. Lord, as Pastor Niall prayed, let us just have open hearts, open minds, open spirits to receive everything that you have for us today. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So being filled with the Holy Spirit can make a major difference in our lives. We heard two testimonies about the difference being filled with the Holy Spirit can make. I want you to think about Resurrection Sunday, the Sunday that Jesus appeared to the 10 men in a room. Do you remember that? They appeared to 10 men. Remember what John told us? He gave us a little detail. He said the door was locked. And he was transparent enough. He told us why the door was locked. He said the door was locked because they were afraid. Did they have any reason to be afraid? Yeah, because what happened to Jesus could happen to them. They might be next. They might be tortured and arrested and crucified. Does fear keep us behind locked doors? Did God make us to stay behind locked doors? So they're behind these locked doors, and then what happens? The resurrected Jesus Christ with his resurrection body, with his scars, appears to them. And it says they were overjoyed. He's not dead. He's alive. They were excited. They were happy. He appeared to them. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ appeared to them. But there was one guy that wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. There were 10. Thomas wasn't there. A week later, now this is 1 week later, after they've experienced the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that Jesus came to them again in this room and appeared to them, and Thomas was shown the scars and the hands, and what did Thomas say in response? He said, "My Lord and my God." He became a believer. Does Jesus want us to believe? Will Jesus reach out to us so that we can believe? But here, was the door locked that second time after the resurrection of Jesus? The door was still locked. Again, John gives us that little detail. The door was still locked, so they were still afraid. They were still afraid after they've experienced the resurrected Jesus Christ. They were still afraid. Now, the Great Commission was not given to us to stay behind locked doors. What was it? It was for us to go out into all the world and share the gospel and make disciples. It wasn't to stay behind locked doors. What was missing? What needed to happen? Well, Jesus told them they had to wait in Jerusalem until they would what? Receive power from on high. And so, when did they stop locking the doors? When did they stop locking the doors? The day of Pentecost. On that day, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, this Jewish festival, the city was full of people, it says, from devout Jews from every nation under heaven. It was filled with people. What happened? They ran through those doors. They went out into the streets, and they were proclaiming the gospel, and people could hear the gospel in their own language. They just were given this supernatural gift. And what happened that day? 3,000 people came to Jesus. Is receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit a big deal? It's a major big deal. That's why it seems crazy to me that churches don't celebrate Pentecost, when it's so important. The coming of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit is so important. And so it was the filling of the Holy Spirit that gave them this new courage, this new boldness, this new power to go out on the streets and to share about Jesus. Now, some of you probably know the name Bill Bright with a crew, college ministry, and he's not known as a charismatic, but he tells this story. He tells a story about a young man that came to him, and he was very discouraged. He came to him for counsel. And this young man was spending 3 hours a day praying. 3 hours a day praying. And he was trying to bring his friends, people around him, to Christ. And he was discouraged because it wasn't happening. So he went and talked to Bill Bright. And Bill Bright said he was not controlled or empowered by the Holy Spirit, although he wanted to be. So Bill Bright prayed with him, and it says, by faith, that's an important word. By faith, he appropriated the power of the Holy Spirit on the authority of God's word. His life was absolutely transformed. That very day, he led somebody to Christ. And so Bill Bright tells this story. You know, I can remember, I became a Christian, went to seminary, 3 years in seminary. Never heard any teaching really about the Holy Spirit. And certainly didn't hear any teaching about being filled with the Spirit. I was zealous. I was committed. But I was beginning to run on empty. Zeal and commitment just isn't enough. Running on empty. And so this guy came to me one time and he said, the Lord told me to pray for you. Well, I didn't hear that kind of language in my Christian circles. The Lord told me to do this. So I said, okay, you can pray for me. And so he prayed for me. And I had made fun of people that lifted up their hands, you know. Charismatic gymnastics. So I made fun of them. But as he was praying for me, my hand started to go up. Now, I could have stopped it. But it was a sign to me that something was happening. And after I received this fullness of the Spirit, and again, I don't remember him talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't remember him talking about anything. All I know is that something changed in my life. And I began to pray for people, and I was given like special insight into how to pray for them. There were more God incidents in my life, where things just began to happen and you could only say God was part of it, just more supernatural. I prayed for people and they were healed. And things just began to happen more. So the fullness of the Holy Spirit is something very special that God gives to us. And so Pastor Niall gave already a great introduction in terms of just being open, just to be open to the being filled with the Spirit. So how do we receive? How do we receive the Spirit? Well, this is a simple teaching Deacon Tom taught us about this. Let's just read this passage together. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what's our job? What's our side of the equation here? Ask. What's his side? Give. Now, if you read this in the context of Luke 11, it's about prayer. And it's about persisting in prayer and persevering in prayer. But this is how it ends. And what's Jesus saying? When you pray, yes, persevere, but persevere with expectancy. When you come for prayer today, I want you to come with expectancy. Because what does this do? This takes a family life example. A father feeding his child. And he says, you take any run-of-the-mill earthly father, and the child will ask him for an egg. Is the father going to give him a scorpion? What's the obvious answer? Oh, if he asks for a fish, is he going to give him a snake? So if an earthly father who's far from perfect, now if we think about a perfect father, full of power, full of love, full of grace, and he will give us good gifts. He loves to give good gifts. But Luke makes it very clear here. What's the best gift that we can get? The Holy Spirit. That's for believers. The best gift anybody can get is salvation. But for a believer, he is saying, hey, you pray, you want the best gift? It's the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So today, when we ask for the Holy Spirit, will the Father give us the Spirit? Expect that. Expect to receive the Holy Spirit when you ask. You know, sometimes I think we can make complicated formulas about how to receive the Holy Spirit. But just look at these passages. Baptism with the Holy Spirit, receiving power, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being poured out, and receiving the Holy Spirit. So, you see, that there are actually different Greek words. There's different ways to describe it. And I think there's many ways somebody can be filled with the Spirit and can have an experience of the Holy Spirit. And it can happen in so many different ways. I mean, in the book of Acts, it talks about Peter preaching, and what happens? In the middle of his sermon, he's not even done, poor guy, preacher, not even done with his sermon, and all the people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So how we receive the Holy Spirit, we have to be careful about trying to put that into a formula or into a box. I think the most important thing is to be open to the Holy Spirit. But, you know, in our culture today, you know, I think these people that are shooting other people, did anybody ever witness to them? How many lives have been saved because somebody filled with the Holy Spirit had the courage to share Christ with somebody? Some of us remember Jennifer Palmer. Jennifer Palmer is preaching today in a VA hospital to people that have mental illness. I prayed for her. So, because what could she prevent by using the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to people? What can we prevent by just being a witness to somebody, giving some hope to somebody through the Holy Spirit? And Francis Chan, who I have a lot of respect for, wrote a book. The name of the book was Forgotten God. Forgotten God. Reversing our tragic neglect of the Holy Spirit. This is what he says. I believe this missing something is actually a missing someone, namely the Holy Spirit. Without him, people operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. The world is not moved by love or actions that are of human creation. And the church is not empowered to live differently from any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, the evidence in their lives is supernatural. The church cannot help but be different, and the world cannot help but notice. Do we need to make a difference in our culture? And we can't do this without the power and strength of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. What we do in our own strength isn't going to change anybody, but what God does through us can make all the difference. You know, I shared with you how I was running on empty. You remember those old oil lamps, and they have a wick and they have oil? Well, when you're burning out, you know what's happening? You're just... The wick is what's burning, not the oil. We need the oil of the Holy Spirit to be filled. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's a verse. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. Chris gave testimony that how the Holy Spirit helped him know Christ better. So this is one part of the fruit of just allowing the Holy Spirit. And you know, there's some question, okay, do we have the Holy Spirit already? So we just need to pray for the release of the Holy Spirit. But this is after the book of Acts and the Pentecost, and what's Paul praying? May give you the Holy Spirit. I'm with Dennis Bennett. Dennis Bennett said it's a both and. It's a release, but it's also some kind of receiving. But I don't think the Lord cares much about the language as much as our openness to be available to receive the Holy Spirit. But Paul's praying for them to receive the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that's the Holy Spirit, so they may know Jesus better. So here's three reasons that I think we need to be open to receiving the fullness of the Spirit. One, we pray to receive the Holy Spirit to know Jesus better. Two, pray for the release of the Holy Spirit for power to minister to others. And three, pray for the release of the Holy Spirit for power to be a witness to people that don't know the Lord. I just heard a testimony this morning from someone who said he was an atheist. And the Spirit appeared to him, and he didn't know what to do with it. But it brought him to Christ. So these kind of supernatural encounters, we want to see them happen more. We want to see them happen more here at Messiah. And there are seasons. You know, we were singing about open heavens, and it seems like there are seasons where the heavens are open more than others. But I know the promise of the Father is if we pray and we ask for the Holy Spirit, He will give us the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to do today. We're not just going to talk about Pentecost. We're going to pray for you to be filled with the Spirit. And we're going to pray for people online. Pastor Na is going to have a special prayer for people online while we're ministering to people here. So we're going to move now into a special presentation about Pentecost. And then at the end, we're going to invite you to come forward to be prayed for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for my friend, Pastor John Dooley, Dr. John Dooley, and his wife Kathy drove all the way from Williamsburg. I said, would you come and help pray for people today? And so they made a special effort to be here today. And Chris Woodland's going to pray, Colleen's going to pray, Niall and I are going to pray, and I might go recruit some more if we need more folks. And I'm also, you know me, I'm going to wander out there and pray for people too. And just my prayer is that every person here asks the Father for the Holy Spirit and is touched and filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's listen to this wonderful story about a promise that God brought to us, given way back in the old book of Ezekiel. Okay, Chris and Debbie White are going to do this special presentation for us. It includes music and slides.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Heal our hearts, our lives. Cleanse our thoughts, our minds. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, come to us. And Holy Spirit, fall. Holy Spirit, flow. in your will, empowered to proclaim. Holy Spirit, flow. Oh, flow through us.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters.
God's Holy Spirit was there at creation, the breath of God, the Ruach of God, hovering over the waters to breathe life into the Father's creation. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. God saw that all he had made was good, and it was very good.
Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God, breathe on me. I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. Come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me.
Throughout history, the Holy Spirit has moved in various ways to guide his children, and he has touched and empowered particular people for a particular purpose.
By day, the Lord went ahead of the Israelites in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way. And by night, in a pillar of cloud of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night.
Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power.
The prophet Joel prophesied, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Joel's prophecy became a promise of empowerment to anyone in the church who wants to receive the Holy Spirit, regardless of age, gender, race, social class, or education.
As John the Baptist was baptizing people with water, he pointed to Jesus as the one who would baptize people with the Holy Spirit. Before the Holy Spirit could be poured out on all people, Jesus would come and pour out his life on behalf of all people. At his baptism, Jesus showed us the importance of receiving the Holy Spirit. John taught, "After me will come one more powerful than I. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." At the time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove.
Isaiah prophesied the words which Jesus would later proclaim, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor."
Jesus explained that in order for people to receive the power of the Spirit, they must be filled with the Holy Spirit.
"I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be the tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, fall in this place. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Like a mighty river flowing out from the temple, as Ezekiel prophesied, the Spirit began to flow and overflow into hundreds and thousands of believers. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. While Peter was still speaking to Cornelius and his household, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles.
The flow of the Holy Spirit was not limited to a one-time experience. Those who had been filled in the Spirit were filled again and again. They formed a new community, not based on family, race, or wealth, but on their common love for Jesus and the burning desire to witness for him and the power of the Holy Spirit.
After they prayed on the day of Pentecost, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To me, oh,